believe we do have a quorum this morning, so I'm going to call this meeting to order. What we're here to talk about this morning is Senate File 946. It's an innovative delivery of education services and sharing of district resources, and this is a pilot project. Could we have council go ahead and walk through the bill for us this morning?
Mr. Chair and members, if you look at your, side-by-side language, the Senate language is on the left, House file on the right. And I can start with the Senate file. Establishes a four-year pilot project to allow groups of school districts to look at the benefits of operating jointly to deliver innovative programs. The Senate file allows for three or more districts to form the joint partnership to share in providing innovative delivery of education programs and activities and to share resources. And then it also allows the member school districts that are, once they're selected by the commissioner to participate in the pilot project, to then later on admit any other interested districts.
I think we want Ms. Larson.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, members, the House language is similar to the Senate language, but with some differences. For example, the House is proposing a five-year pilot project between 2013-2014 through 2017-2018. Its goal is to improve student and school outcomes, which is not a goal stated by the Senate. The House, unlike the Senate, allows groups of two or more school districts as opposed to three or more school districts to collaborate. And there is also a direction in the House proposal that the plan do a couple of things: provide challenging programmatic options for students, create professional development opportunities for educators, increase student engagement and connection, and challenging learning opportunities for students, or demonstrate efficiencies in delivering financial and other services. There are a number of criteria related to the plan, although they're stated somewhat differently than what the Senate proposes. They are similar in many regards. And there is a catch-all that both the House and the Senate have with respect to other applicable conditions, regulations, responsibilities, duties, et cetera, needed to fully implement the plan. Unlike the Senate, the House has a specific application date for applying to the commissioner. That is February 1 of 2013. Both the House and the Senate allow a participating district to continue to receive revenue and maintain taxing authority, be organized and governed by an elected school board with general powers. The House, unlike the Senate, talks about the fact that the participating districts remain subject to employment agreements that are in effect, and that district employees continue to remain employees in the employing district. The Senate, in contrast to the House, allows the member districts of a joint partnership to comply with those laws that govern charter schools and exempts participants from those laws from which charter schools are exempt.
Thank you.
And then, Mr. Chair and members, I think going on to subdivision two of the files on R2, subdivision two for the Senate outlines the role of the commissioner, and the commissioner then has the role to select up to six applicants to participate in the pilot project, and that selection has to be based on those that fully comply with the requirements in subdivision one about what they need to put in their plan and who participates.
Mr. Chairman, members, there's a great deal of similarity between Subdivision 2 in both the House and the Senate, but there are some differences. The House requires that interested groups of school districts submit a completed application to the commissioner by March 1 of 2013. In addition, there is a direction that the commissioner convene an advisory panel. The House lists the members of that advisory panel to advise the commissioner on applicants' qualifications to participate. There is a direction in the House language to the commissioner to select between 3 and 6 qualified applicants. The Senate language allows the commissioner to select up to 6 applicants. In addition, there is language in the House bill that directs the commissioner to terminate a project participant that fails to effectively implement the goals and objectives that are contained in its application and according to a stated timeline, which is part of the required plan in the House bill.
And Mr. Chair, members, Subdivision 3 of the files is for the pilot project evaluation. They're quite similar. The Senate requires the report to be done by February 1st, 2016, and just to evaluate the success of the pilot project and recommend whether or not it should continue or be expanded.
Mr. Chairman, members, the House bill has some additional specificity with respect to the evaluation of the data. It directs the commissioner to analyze participating districts' progress in realizing their educational goals and objectives, which is part of the plan. The commissioner is supposed to include in the analysis and report best practices garnered from the data. The House allows the commissioner to submit an interim project report at any time and requires the commissioner to submit a final report to the legislature by February 1, 2018. Both the House and the Senate ask that the commissioner recommend whether or not to continue or expand the pilot project. Finally, in the House, but not the Senate, there is a Subdivision 4 that requires the commissioner to fund the additional duties out of existing department resources. Both the House and the Senate have effective dates. They reflect the difference in part of the 4-year term versus the 5-year term, the 4-year term being the Senate and the 5-year term being the House.
Thank you very much. Actually, from my perspective, there's some things from each of the bills that I like. Particularly in the House, I like the idea that they went with a 5-year plan. I think that's better. I like the fact that they went with 2 or more schools rather than it having to be 3. So I think that there's some things from both that I do like. There was some more explicit language, I think, that was in the Senate version that is not in the House version that I understand was controversial there. But I'd like to open it up for some discussion and see if any of the members have some thoughts on what they like from either one. Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know if how the Senate feels about it, but the provisions in the House bill that Representative Erickson worked on so carefully to make sure the bill, could get along and hopefully be signed, that aren't in the Senate bill, abiding by the charter school laws, and that employees could continue being employees of the district, which I think facilitates risk-taking. If you think you're going to try something and then you're not, you can't go back if it doesn't work out after you've taken the chance. I think those are 2 very important provisions in the House bill that, I'm a co-author of this original bill before we had those in there, but I also applauded Representative Erickson for putting them in to facilitate all the various factions to make this bill viable, and you didn't mention those in your comments, and I wonder what the Senate has to say about those.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
I wasn't quite tracking because I thought the difference was that the Senate did allow the the project to be treated much like charter schools with some freedom and flexibility. Are you saying that the House did not accept that? It sounded like you were in agreement, or did you narrow that scope?
Representative Erickson.
Mr. Chair and Senator Olson, we narrowed the scope.
And I think we should take a look at that, but I think there needs to be some flexibility if we're going to give them an opportunity to be innovative. Just bringing two or three districts together may not be adequate to doing that. I think we've got to take some risks allowing them to use some creativity as they see within their circumstances to either make more opportunities available or to be able to focus on the goals that have been set. Now, you are explicit in the House on some specific goals that need to be a part of that. I think that is more open on the Senate side, and so I think that's an area that needs to be visited. Or was that one that you liked?
I'm sorry, which one was that?
The idea of setting some of the more specific goals for the project.
Senator Olson, I'd like to try something else before we get into this. I might call the administrators Gary Amoroso up, because I'd like to ask his opinion on if he feels this language gives the schools the latitude to do what we're really looking for.
Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Just 1 minute. Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Ms. Senator DeCrieff. I'm just raising my hand to get on the list, but I would like to hear from Mr. Amoroso.
Okay. Mr. Amoroso, would you comment on whether you feel the House language compared to the Senate language accomplishes what our goal was to accomplish with this bill?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm members of the committee. Gary Amoroso, Executive Director, Minnesota Association of School Administrators. I would share that our most important thought is that we want to make sure that we have a bill that gets through the legislature and is signed by the governor, which provides opportunities for our school districts to work together to improve student achievement and maybe operate more effectively. And we believe that this is a pilot program, and as such, we believe that the language in the House bill that talks about, you know, the parameters of what the program may look like would provide us opportunities to begin the journey of being innovative and being creative. It would establish parameters that I believe would be embraced by the employee groups that have to have ownership in this type of project. This is not something that a superintendent or a board only can move forward. In order for these types of programs, in our opinion, to be successful, there's got to be a solid ownership by all of the employees within the system so that the collaborative feel is there. And we believe that the language as presented in the House file does provide the opportunities for the districts to come together, does provide the opportunities to be creative and to try some things. And the beauty about a pilot program is that if over time the results show that maybe we need more flexibility, those types of things can be talked about at that time. But our concern is that if this is not viewed as a collaborative effort and endorsed by the various constituents, that we may never have it see the light of day. And to me, that's a step in the wrong direction.
Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. Amoroso, and I'm going to go right to get right to the point. On the side-by-sides are two House language that encompasses lines 2.9 to 2.14. You started your presentation by saying that you want there to be a bill that can be signed, make it through the process and can be signed. I've heard that if this component, particularly the words, the last words of this section, and district employees continue to remain employees of the employing school district, that if that is not in the final product, this bill could be in grave danger. Does that language give your organization heartburn and create a situation where we simply couldn't have innovative pilot projects in the first place, so then the entire endeavor is moot. Or can you work with this language?
Mr. Chair, Representative Biskins, we believe that we can work with this language. Our organization was involved in conversations regarding the inclusion of this language and believe that it will continue to provide us with an opportunity to look at this again. Our perspective is this has got to be collaborative. We have to have our employees on board. You can't mandate something like this from the top down and have people truly working on behalf of being successful. And we believe that this language does provide us with the beginnings of a process that will allow us to work collaboratively and hopefully be innovative on behalf of children. We believe that without this language, we may never see the light of day. And to me, that is certainly not a desired outcome.
Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Senator. So then your testimony is that through collaboration, all of the stakeholders have come together to agree with this language.
Mr. Chair, Representative Biskins, I would not speak on behalf of all of the organizations that are either in this room or have an interest in this bill, but I do believe, based on my knowledge, that the bill, the language as presented in the House bill, would have a significant chance of being successful in passing and hopefully having a governor's signature.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had to ask the question so that I could get both the words collaboration and stakeholders into the same sentence for my friend, Representative Hornstein.
You did a very good job, Representative Biskins. I might move for just a minute to ask Eric Naumann to comment on the fiscal cost of this.
Yes, Mr. Chair and members. Ms. Larson made reference to Subdivision 4 on the House file. That's line 3.3 and 3.4. Both bills take a relatively similar approach to the costs associated with the bill, in that both bills assume that the costs shall be borne by the department without an additional appropriation. The House file is more explicit and speaks to the fact that the costs of the bill, in this case, $25,000 associated with 25% of an FTE for the purposes of analyzing applications, monitoring progress, and writing a report. So to shorten up this discussion, $25,000 cost ongoing, but neither bill appropriates the money for that purpose, and the House bill is a little bit more explicit in that regard.
I wonder if I could call
the department.
Yeah, the department to come up and comment on the
fiscal
note.
You said it on the deal.
Mr. Chair, members, Kevin McHenry, Department of Education. To the fiscal note. I know there's been a lot of work done on this bill to get it in a form that everybody can agree with and all the stakeholders can collaborate. But in the end, there that was for Representative Biskins. But in there, and this is something that we did mention to Chair Erickson on this, is that there is a ongoing cost of this bill of about $25,000 to analyze the applications, to monitor progress, and writing the report. One of the things that we have experienced at the department, there have been from last session, there have been task forces that have been put upon the department that do take employees' times. It does take department resources to make sure that we are doing the proper work that needs to be done. In administering whether it's a task force or a program, and to provide the proper oversight. Now, the fiscal note does put forth a $25,000 cost. The message I think that I had to bring here, and this is what I told Chair Erickson, is that we are in a position, due to all of the previous task forces and reports that have not been paid for, is the that we wanted to bring forth the notion from the governor's office that we were told that for any costs associated with any bills, and I don't, this goes beyond our department, that the that they were expecting that they would be paid for. So I would encourage as we move forward, if we could find a way to pay for this cost, it would be something that would help the bill along quite a bit.
Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So do you have any suggestions on task forces that we could kill? I'd gladly take it up.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative Biskins, I don't know if I'm in the position to point out which task forces or reports or that might be able to be killed or removed, but are open for suggestions and working with you all to try to find a way to move this forward.
Representative Biskins.
Well, so thank you, Mr. Chair. Prior to the next meeting, I'll collaborate with the stakeholders and see if we can't come up with a few.
Representative Greiling, did you have a question?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. McHenry, I understand the problem of, you know, continual assignments and no money to go with it. But I'm wondering, in this case, you know, there are some things we're getting rid of already this year, like the one that has to quantify what the cost would be if we didn't do the federal regulations for No Child Left Behind and that sort of thing. So there's one already for Representative Biskins. So if we, you know, if we made that kind of paired up here in our minds and we did do the House provision on the employment, you know, I'm willing to be flexible on the charter school, you know, that's, you two have studied that over more than I have. But I'm wondering if we thought of it that way and we had the House employment section in there, what you thought the bill's chances would be.
Madam Chair, Representative Greiling, first of all, I will say that I cannot speak on behalf of the governor of what he will or won't do. But what I can say is that we have put some significant work in this session to put this bill in a good form. And I know that this has worked through the Senate last session. But this year, I know that we have put forward significant work in the House committees. The commissioner has met with several folks on this, including Mr. Amoroso, to come forth with some ideas. And so I think that we're in a position where we do like the House bill. We think it's something that people are excited about, and it's something that we would like to see move forward, assuming it is paid for.
Do we have any other comments or questions about the bill in specifically, or what you like about the bill, or what you might want to see changed in the bill?
Well, Mr. Chair, just in reference to Senator Olson's, thank you, in reference to Senator Olson's earlier question about the changes we made in the House, and my answer was maybe we're more limiting than you were, but I think we came to the conclusion that we could offer more innovation to districts who want to form these partnerships if we were silent, and then allow them to create the kind of programming or options that they might like because we were silent. Now, it's true that we've given some specific parameters as far as raising achievement. You know, I think that should be an important goal always for any bill that goes out of education policy reform. But the charter school language we set aside and preferred to use different language with the hopes that in the application process and the communication with the commissioner, districts that wanted to move perhaps closer to that kind of concept would offer that. And if it's not acceptable, the application will be returned for revision. So I think we'd want to leave this creativity to our school districts and our our staffs and others.
Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm going to add to that simply by saying my experience has been the more open we leave things, the more a department chooses then to define it in whatever means they choose. So I like what you're saying about the flexibility. Absolutely. That's the purpose for the bill. All right? And we don't want to be limiting, but we have to look at the flip side that leaving it too wide open may make it much more limiting than we ever desired by the agency themselves.
Senator Olson, I don't know if I could get you to comment on what your feelings are on the side-by-side when, you know, we had some language in there about charter school that was met with some real discomfort in the House. The House uses some other more specific language that's different than what we had. But can you comment on what your feelings are? Do you feel that we're going to have the that we're going to give the school districts the latitude and the desire with this bill to move forward and want to do this and feel like they're really gaining something?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have not had a chance to digest the finer details, but I do appreciate the fact that the House has given this a lot of attention this year, given that there were some areas that were not acceptable before, and yet I felt very strongly that this was an idea that ought not to be just taken lightly and discarded. And so in terms of remaining silent and setting forth the challenges to bring forth the innovations and dealing with it, I think is entirely appropriate, and especially if the ones who brought this idea forward in the first place are not uncomfortable with that, I don't have any problem with that. And I do believe that we have at least been in many of these areas have been walking a path of trying to work through all parties and appreciate the engagement that the department has taken this year in trying to resolve some of these beforehand rather than just fighting through veto messages. And so if you've been able to bring that to bear, I think we should look very seriously at the House's building on, I think, what we had been working toward in the Senate. I don't think it's necessarily inconsistent. So I am, you won't hear me say that too often, that I would laud the House for their work. It's a little easier to do otherwise, but it's but I, in the interest of getting this approved and passed and on its way, and, you know, I've often said if we ever got anything perfect, we wouldn't have to come back. It wouldn't be necessary. So some of us aren't going to come back, but there will be others who can, the case can be brought to as to modifications that might be appropriate and as we go forward. So that's just kind of a general statement.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Olson. I'd like to maybe call somebody to the mic. Would Ms. Allswiger, I have, I guess, a couple questions I'd like to ask you and see if you could respond to my concerns. Ms. Allswiger, there's some language in here that talks about district employees continue to remain employees of the employing school district. And in your view, I guess I would like to, you know, I'm going to ask two questions, and then I'll ask you to go. But do you feel that that's going to give the schools the latitude to truly innovate? Secondly, an example that I've come forward with is if we have four schools that come together, and each of these schools has a Spanish teacher, and they find out that in their plan, they really only need two Spanish teachers, but it gives them the latitude to add a German and a Russian teacher. Now they're innovating. Now they're adding curriculum. So I had some ideas of coming up with some language that talked about no net loss of teachers. And I'd like to hear your response to, do you feel that this is really going to give the schools the latitude? Will the teachers buy in? Because I absolutely believe that the teachers need to buy in for this to be successful, and I want their ideas to come forward because I believe that they're going to come forward with things that we've never thought of here, and that's the beauty, I think, in this program. So if you could respond.
Sure. Mr. Chair, Jan Alsweger, Education Minnesota, and I must first say that it's really been a pleasure working on this bill with the authors and the Superintendents Association, Mr. Amoroso and Ms. Dozland. They've been great to work with. And I would go back to Mr. Amoroso's comments that by having this collaboration and working with people, there is an establishment of trust. We initially wanted the words on the House side, line 1.13, must negotiate. And then we said, well, you know, this is as long as we're having this language in remain employees of the school district, and as long as we take out the language that has the 124D.10, which is the charter school rights, we felt that then we can actually give our employees the opportunity to work with, not negotiate with, but to collaborate with the stakeholders and come up with a new model, a new school. By keeping the they remain employees of the school district, all that really does is give them some security and a safety net to say that if something happens to this innovative school, that these employees will have the rights to go back to their school district. And to your second question, if something were to happen where this school were to close, and let's say you had three employing school districts, the employees in the innovative school would be put back in the mix in each one of the three school districts. And so if they don't need, if we have two Spanish teachers now and there's only room for one Spanish teacher, they would go through whatever their process is and decide which Spanish teacher they're going to keep. So we think, and I hope that answers your question, Mr. Chair, and if it does not, please let me know, and I'll try to give some more examples. But the only thing it really does is give them a right to, in terms of layoffs, et cetera, a right to keeping their job possibly. They may not. They may. Depends on what their negotiated language is and seniority.
Okay. Well, thank you. And again, I'm going to probably repeat myself, but I think that we absolutely do have to create a model here where the teachers have buy-in, where the administrators buy in, and they all feel like they're equal partners in this. Is there anyone else that has an interest in testifying for or against this bill or provisions of this bill? Senator Olson?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I would like to make a motion that we accept the House language and their work on this bill.
Okay, the motion has been made to accept the language that the House has worked on, and I do appreciate the work that the House did on this bill, and I'm tending to agree myself.
Mr. Chair and Senator Olson, thank you for the motion. I would like to amend your motion and remove subdivision 4, lines 3.3 and 3.4, and then offer an amendment. But first of all, so perhaps, Senator Olson, you would like to remove your motion, and I'll proceed to amend the suggestion I think you've made that we accept the House language.
But if we can move quickly enough. We got two Finance Committee members that
yes,
got a hearing
yes.
down there, and I really need to get back to it. So that's why I'm
So will
I'd
you
like
remove
move
your
along.
Motion so we
yes,
can
Yes, I'll be
okay.
happy to move it.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
Mr. Chair, I'm moving to delete subdivision 4 of the House language, existing resources, because I do have an amendment to offer some funding, and I think Mr. Navin will help us with that answer, whether or not we have to offer it here, or if, because the existing resources is removed, it's assumed that the department will receive.
Okay, Representative Erickson moves Senate File 946, and it's the A12 amendment. So,
no, Mr. Chair, I'm moving to delete first of all existing resources.
Okay, moving to delete
four. Yes.
Subdivision 4 on line 3.3 and 3.4.
Yes.
She's Representative Erickson is looking to delete that portion.
Ready to vote.
So all in favor?
Okay, all in favor of that motion?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. So that has been moved.
So then, Mr. Chair, I do have my amendment, the A12 amendment. But I think Mr. Nauman is checking to see what the official action should be. Because I would insert it after line 3.2, so it would become a subdivision 4. No, it would have to be a separate section, right, Mr. Nauman? Because it's appropriation.
Mr. Chair and Representative Erickson, I think you've accomplished that in the proposed amendment. The only suggestion that I would have, because this is a $25,000 increment on the Department of Education appropriation, I would recommend that instead of saying this is an ongoing appropriation, I would say the base for the Department of Education is increased by $25,000 for fiscal year 14 and later.
Mr. Nauman, could you repeat that suggestion?
The base for the Department of Education is increased by $25,000 for fiscal year 2014 and later.
Representative Erickson, do you want to comment any further on this?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Nauman, you are suggesting a deletion of this as an ongoing appropriation and a replacement of the sentence that you just gave us, correct?
Mr. Chair and Representative Erickson, yes.
So that I will incorporate that suggestion. I better move it because
Madam Chair. Thank you.
Representative Biscuits.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Before you incorporate this, Madam Chair, I would ask you to consider whether or not we should put an end date because the pilot project ends.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, Representative Biscuits, of course, I didn't even think of that. So I think the pilot project ends in fiscal 17.
Yes.
Is increased by $25,000 for fiscal year 2014 through fiscal year
2018.
Through 2017. Does it end in 17 or 18?
18.
Okay. 18 would be appropriate then.
Mr. Chair, that will be my motion.
Okay. Should we vote on this, the amended?
Yes. We have to vote on the amendment.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, that passes.
Now,
then I'd renew my motion to adopt the House language.
Senator Olson renews her motion to accept the House file as amended.
House language
as amended. And all those in favor of that?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
And thank you, Senator, for your work. And Representative Greiling, I want to say thank you to you for the work that you've provided and the input and the wisdom over the years. We did honor Senator Olson the other day, but I wanted to honor you too.
Thank you very much. I was just saying to Representative Biscuits, one of the things we were whispering back and forth is this is a classy, pleasurable group of people. So, unlike some groups.
Have fun.
Are you adjourning the meeting?
The meeting is adjourned.